followed by a second article about Mrs. Coleridge's breathtaking collection, remained unwritten. She had only been home in Durham for a few days before her boss, a cantankerous, overweight man named Carl Swanson, called her into the office to send her packing to cover an auction in Charleston, South Carolina. "Can't anyone else cover it?" Molly had pleaded. "I still have to write up the two Charlottesville pieces. I'm only halfway through the Southern Quilts article." Swanson, irascible as ever, chewed frantically on his nicotine gum and howled, "No! You're going, and you're going now!" Molly beat a hasty retreat, grateful to get away from Swanson's fetid breath and crimson face. Ever since her boss had decided to quit smoking, he was more intolerable than ever, yelling at anyone who crossed his path and snacking feverishly on Krispy Kreme donuts, cheese crackers, or beef jerky, followed by several squares of nicotine gum. His temper was intimidating, but the odor of his sweat-stained clothes and foul breath was almost deadly. After her escape, Molly barely had time to pop her head into Marketing Director Matt Harrison's office and explain that she was leaving town again. Matt had just returned from a sales conference, and they had plans to spend the weekend together. Since June, their schedules had only allowed for 3 dates, 2 of which were wonderful romantic dinners, and the 3rd a quick lunch before Molly hit the road again. Now, autumn was upon them, and Molly felt that, despite her efforts to call Matt nightly from the road, their relationship wasn't developing the intimacy that either of them sought. After entering his office, Molly immediately closed the door. Though some of the Collector's Weekly staff knew about the romantic nature of her relationship with Matt, Molly preferred to be discreet. She'd rather not have Carl Swanson making cynical remarks about her love life. Molly seated herself in one of the 2 chairs facing Matt's desk, nervously smoothed her long cotton skirt, and quietly told him that she was leaving for Charleston and would have to cancel their plans for dinner and a movie. "We can't seem to get a break," Matt had sighed, running his fingers through his sandy brown hair. His light blue eyes showed only a moment's disappointment before his customary shy and utterly charming smile returned. "Don't worry." He stood and enveloped Molly in a quick but tender hug. "I'll be here when you get back." Molly gazed up at him as he tucked a strand of her shoulder-length, dark brown hair behind her ear. She felt a sense of desperation welling up inside of her. How long could they put their relationship on hold? Instead of clinging to Matt and professing how much she longed to stay with him, Molly smiled weakly and fumbled for something to say. She wanted to ease the tension, to exchange some light banter and coax a laugh from the man standing before her. Matt searched Molly's slate-gray eyes, which were framed with a sweep of dark lashes, for any indication of what was going on in her mind. He longed to kiss her lush, pouting lips, but they were at work, so he unwillingly released his hold on her. Yet she was clearly reluctant to let go. With her hand resting on his arm, she sensed his desire to kiss her, and her body responded in kind. But she knew that if she kissed him now, she'd never want to leave. "Okay, then," Molly had finally blurted, her heart thudding like a drum in her chest. "I'd better get going. I'll call you." Conscious of Matt's eyes on her as she walked out of his office, Molly wished for the millionth time that she was a slim size 6 instead of a full-figured size 14. Her cheeks grew warm, and she felt as though every staff member was staring at her curvy hips, full breasts, and thick legs as she hastened around the cubicles and out to the lobby. The sensation made her long for the comfort of an iced cappuccino and a plate of shortbread cookies. During the weekend in Charleston, where the muggy weather had necessitated 3 changes of clothes per day, Molly sat under a stifling tent taking notes through 2 days of lot after lot of Chinese export porcelain and heavily ornamented oak furniture until she thought she would swoon. Molly left Charleston as soon as the hammer fell on the final lot. Driving well over the speed limit on the way back to Durham, Molly had called Matt at home, hoping to make a last-minute Sunday night dinner date. His answering machine picked up, and after listening wistfully to his soft, mellifluous voice,